Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good to see all of you here today. Glad that God has gathered us together to hear his word of forgiveness for our sins for Jesus' sake. If you need it, our time of catechesis today is on the fifth chief part, as we refer to it, Confession and Absolution. Page 326 is where you'll find it, in the front of your hymnal. And the first question there is, what is confession?
Confession is two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that if I ask our sins are forgiven for what I have done.
So you notice the two parts, confession and absolution. Absolution is really the more important. In some cases, the Lutheran confessions talk about making confession of sins for the sake of absolution. So even though the heading here is confession, it is by no means focusing on the confession part, but the emphasis is certainly on the absolution. We privately confess our sins to our pastors for the sake of that individual holy absolution. That's the purpose. And this past week I had the occasion to have lunch with the pastor at Kilgore Bible Church, and he and I ended up talking a little bit about these things that the church does, that what we sometimes call the exercise of the office of the keys. And in the Kilgore Bible Church, they don't believe that what is happening in the church is happening simultaneously or as a result in heaven. But they look at it the other way, that what is being done in the church is reflecting what is done in heaven. Well, that's just completely contrary to what Jesus says in Holy Scripture. For example, as we'll see here in a couple of weeks, in John chapter 20, Jesus says, whosoever sins you forgive on earth, or if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And the explanation here is you just confess, by it, by our forgiving sins on earth, those sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What we do on earth is reflected in heaven, not the other way around. So it's a view that the office of the ministry does not actually do anything that leads people to that conclusion that the absolution is just simply the declaration of what God has already done. Well, no, that's certainly not what Scripture teaches or what we believe on the basis of Scripture. By the absolution, our sins are forgiven here on earth and even before God in heaven, which is, of course, where it matters, right? Because that's where the judgment would take place before God. Other comments or questions about that? All right. The preparation for setting one is on page 151. I invite you to turn there and to stand if you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for our sake, or for his sake rather, God forgives us all of our sin. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And for all who offer here their worship and praise,
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. The appointed first reading is from the book of Acts, the sixth and seventh chapters. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in ears and heart, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will sing praise, I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God, all I have my being.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God, all I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes,
in some man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On every day his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them,
who be safe forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed,
who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God will triumph to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Peter, the second chapter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know the way. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me,
and Gospel of the Lord.
Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 633. meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
There are a lot of things that might trouble our hearts. Globally, there are the wars in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine. We hear so much about Iran that we may have sort of forgotten about Russia, which just yesterday attempted to invade another Ukrainian city. Nationally, there is increasing polarization between the political parties and division over the economy. Here at Pilgrim, there are leadership positions to fill and congregational disunity to address. And in our homes, there may be financial shortfalls and health crises. There are a lot of things that might trouble our hearts and make them afraid. In today's gospel reading, on the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled. And he likewise commands us not to let our hearts be troubled, commanding instead that his disciples and we believe in God the Father and believe in him, God the Son, and so have his peace. Just before today's gospel reading in St. John's divinely inspired account, Jesus himself had been troubled in his spirit and testified that one of his disciples would betray him. And Jesus had spoken of his going somewhere and the disciples not being able to come at first, but following afterward. Then, perhaps drawing on the Passover meal's context before the Exodus, Jesus, as we heard, spoke repeatedly of his going before and his being the way to a place prepared for his people. Jesus' disciples' hearts were already troubled, and they were about to be even more troubled. Jesus' commands to stop letting their hearts be troubled and to continue believing in the Father and the Son, ultimately for God to take the disciples to the place prepared for them, presumably should have comforted the disciples. But instead, Jesus' statements raised a question from Thomas and a demand from Philip, whose knowledge and beliefs Jesus indicated had to be corrected before Jesus promised that his followers, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would do greater works than the works that the Father was doing through the Son, especially as the disciples prayed that the Father might be glorified in the Son. As I mentioned, there are a lot of things that might trouble our hearts. Jesus' commands to stop letting our hearts be troubled and to continue believing in the Father and the Son, ultimately for God to take us to the place prepared for us, presumably should comfort us. However, even on this side of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and this side of the Holy Spirit's coming at Pentecost, we too often act like we do not know the way, or we demand more information than we need, maybe even demanding more information than we possibly can have. Like Jesus' disciples in today's gospel reading, our knowledge and beliefs also need to be corrected. Yet we might be unwilling to submit to Holy Scripture and to make the Lutheran confessions our own confessions. Or for any number of reasons, our faith may be discouraged. Of course, by nature, we do not know God or trust in Him, but are hostile towards God in our ignorance of Him. We think, say, and do what we should not, and we fail to think, say, and do what we should. For our sinful nature and for all our actual sin, we deserve both death here and now and torment in hell for eternity. Apart from the Holy Spirit working through preachers such as John the Baptizer in order to prepare in us the way for the Lord. For truly, God Himself works in us Jesus' empowering commands not to be troubled, but to believe. When as a boy I heard and had to recite Jesus' saying that He went to prepare a place, I wondered what exactly Jesus had to prepare. Was heaven unfinished? Did heaven need to be remodeled? Did heaven's guest beds need to be rolled out and made, like we sometimes had to do at our house when we had overnight guests? Earlier, Jesus Himself said that the kingdom had been prepared, in at least some sense, from the foundation of the world. So when Jesus in today's gospel reading said that He was going to prepare a place for us, we understand Him to be referring to His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave that prepare eternal salvation for all people. When we are sorry for our sin and trust God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake, then God does forgive us. And that eternal salvation is ours. In such ways, God loves us for Jesus' sake and gives us His peace and joy. In today's gospel reading, Jesus commands the acts of believing in God and believing in Himself in such a way that He emphasizes the believing. And then later in the reading, Jesus twice gives an example of the content of such belief, namely, believing that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Jesus, part of the mysteries of both the Holy Trinity and the Incarnation. As Jesus told Philip, the basis for our believing and for the content of our belief are God's word and works, which we know overlap and are worked by any and all of the three blessed persons of the Holy Trinity. Arguably, in some ways anticipating today's gospel reading, after Jesus had found Philip and Philip had found Nathanael, Jesus told Nathanael, presumably in Philip's presence, that Nathanael would see greater things than Jesus is telling Nathanael that Jesus had seen him under a fig tree. Truly greater are God's multiplying believers among Jews and Gentiles after Jesus' resurrection. Through God's ministers in His church, God works faith and the forgiveness of sins through both the reading and preaching of His words to groups such as this one, and the application of the gospel to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with bread and wine that are Christ's body and blood in the Holy Supper, given and shed for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins. Through these means of grace, we know, and at least by faith see, all three blessed persons of the Holy Trinity. And they make their home and abide in us. Through these means of grace, God strengthens our faith. As described in the epistle reading, we offer spiritual sacrifices of praise to God, as we did in today's psalm. We believe and confess as we should, despite the consequences to us, as Stephen did in today's first reading, including his, as a part of the faithful church, calling out the impenitence of the unfaithful church of his day, even though his doing so resulted in his early death. We should expect that our doing works as Jesus and Stephen did ultimately can bring us the kind of opposition that Jesus and Stephen met. And we should be willing to meet such opposition. In keeping with Jesus' revealed will, and so in full confidence that he will do it, we pray that the Father may be glorified in the Son by the Spirit at work in us. And with daily sorrow over our sin and trust in God's forgiveness, we live as those who are at the same time both justified and sinful. As we prayed in the Collect of the Day, God makes the minds of his faithful to be of one will. And he grants that we may love what he has commanded and desire what he has promised, so that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. That place where true joys are found is certainly the sufficiently abundant, permanent, and indestructible rooms in our Father's house, where God will take us and where we will dwell forever with him. If that place is not also he who is our true joy. So do not be troubled, but believe. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church.
I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we thank and praise you for the peace that you give us through your Son's death and resurrection by the power of your Holy Spirit, which calms our troubled hearts and continues our faith. Help us throughout our earthly lives faithfully to receive your forgiveness through your word and sacraments, to do the good works of your commandments in keeping with our callings in life until you take us to yourself. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, through your church, you do great works. Multiply the number of disciples. Strengthen the persecuted. Lead those with oversight responsibility in the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit to hold pastors and congregations to their commitments to teach and practice according to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Bless Lutheran Heritage Foundation as it gives books of the Lutheran faith to people around the world in their own languages. And unite this congregation, united in true belief and its confession by word and deed. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, in holy baptism you give birth to us from above and make us your children. Nourish our faith through the pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may grow up into salvation. And as we mature, give us solid food, that our powers of discernment may be trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for your own possession, that we might proclaim the excellencies of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Use us to reach those who have strayed from the faith and those who have never believed, that they too might be a part of your people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we thank and praise you for recent rain. You know the severe drought in our area. Continue to send rain, we pray, to ease the drought conditions here and elsewhere, that we might continue to thank and praise you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you tell us not to trust in princes, in people in whom there is no salvation. According to your will, grant peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially that we might have a functioning federal government and civil relations with and between the states. Protect non-combatants in war zones. Bless all those who govern us on every level of government. Make all people good citizens. And protect, uphold, and grant discernment to those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you went before the children of Israel on the way to the place you had prepared for them, and your Son is our way to the place you have prepared for us. Protect and guide Brady, Jason, David, Charles, and all who travel, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you lift up those who are bowed down, and you love the righteous. Comfort those who mourn. Make victims of violent crime whole again. Grant hope and patience to those imprisoned and their families. By your word and sacraments, be present with those who are shut in. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions David, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Bob, Linda, Jim, Ann, Steve, and all who are in need of healing. To that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you uphold the widow and the fatherless. Grant contentment to all your people, especially to those without spouses or parents. Bless all families and bring expectant mothers and their children safely through delivery. Help us to better protect your gift of human life, and help those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them finish the school year strong. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we thank and praise you for the blessings of physical and spiritual life that you have given to Ben and Jason, and for the marital blessings that you've given to Charles and Gwen. Continue to grant Ben and Jason physical life according to your will. Help them to remember and to use their baptism, and preserve them in their baptismal grace all the days of their lives. Always enable Charles and Gwen to live together in your forgiveness of sins, and deepen their love for you and for one another through every joy and sorrow that they share. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us.
Body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen.
us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Please be seated a moment. Again, we're glad that all of you are here to stay to receive God's gift of forgiveness and word and his sacrament. Paul, was it my imagination or was Bridget here earlier?
She was.
Okay. I didn't imagine.
No.
Okay. You never know what's going on in my head during the service. Glad to have Sharon here. Glad to have Mary Rose's friend. I'm sorry.
Gay man.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't normally have this much trouble. Say it one more time.
Gay now, right.
And not Daniel, which I think I called you before. So, yeah, that's why I was trying not to say it wrong. Yeah, good. Glad to have you here. God knows your name, even if I can't. Absolutely. And today's our last day to see Nolan, correct?
Yep.
He is off to Colorado to start a new job and hopefully be going to Trinity Lutheran Church in Denver, where Ben and Melody came from, and I have other friends who are there. But he's free to choose where he wants to go. There are other churches in Denver, some of them better, some of them worse. I went to one of the worst ones, and I lived there. And glad to have Amelie here as well. It's also her last day with us for the summer. We expect to see her back in the fall. And if we don't, we'll come looking for her in Alaska. Everybody else, more or less, belongs. Thank you to Debbie for operating the substitute organist service this morning. Elaine, next I this week, right? Yep, so we'll keep Elaine in our prayers as she gets that second surgery done. Reminder that the 15-2 folk are meeting today after the service. Also, as you see in the bulletin, we're looking for a financial secretary and facilities coordinator, Dr. Remo, or me, if you are willing to do that or need more information about it. Next Sunday, Pastor Allen will be filling in. You see there in the bulletin, he's going to do a special Sunday morning adult Bible class titled Acknowledging the Gravity of Sin and the Necessity of the Law. I'm sure you'll have some gospel in there too, as he talks about making the distinction between law and gospel. Any other announcements? You don't get to sing happy birthday to Ben because it's not today. But Cinco de Mayo on Tuesday.
And Remo, so yeah, we're really out of need of those two positions, financial secretary and the facilities coordinator. That's not to say you do all the work on the facilities coordinator side. It was evidence that the tree that fell in our backyard here, yeah? It got cleaned up even without the facilities coordinator. So I do encourage you to step up and consider those positions.
Yes, and it did not just get cleaned up on its own, but Remo and Pete and Carl. Yes. And if you go down there, it's almost as if it had never fallen. I mean, they did such a great job. There might be one leaf left or something like that. Or no leaves.
Not a challenge for the Dixie Chocolate that will take care of the rest.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you can't see the one tall tree trunk standing up. How many did you figure came down to?
One tree with about four major branches down, is that where it cracked?
Okay. And probably not ours, but nevertheless, on our property in our mess. Yeah. So it was cleaned up. Any other announcements?